Welcome everyone to Healing Wednesdays and the Circle of 12. I'm Lee Carroll.
And I'm Monica Marani.
Well, we are indeed back. Every Wednesday evening of the year, we come together with special guests, questions and answers, discussions, meditations, and of course, crying channeling. Well, YouTube subscribers, welcome. This is our once a month free program. Also, welcome to all of you who are joining us for the first time.
A special welcome to our incredible members from the Circle of 12 who receive one of these programs every single week of the year. And if you're not a member, but you follow the Circle of 12 on YouTube, this is your 27th free program. And if you are a member, this is program 109. How incredible is that? You can find all of the others that you've missed from the beginning of the series with a subscription from crinemasters.com to the weekly program. We don't normally talk about the price of things on the program, but I'm going to mention it anyway because I can. And the first of the month, it is free, and we are going to keep that promise and keep on delivering. While ever we do this program, we will always have the first program of the month free. And the reason that we can do that is because of the Healing Wednesday members. So right now, I want to just give all of you who have ever been a Healing Wednesday member at any time a big kiss, hugs, energetic love wash from Lee and I, because you are the ones who have made it possible for us to deliver the free programs. And the membership price, well, actually, that was Cryon that told Lee exactly what he was going to charge for these programs. And Cryon said, the paid portion is set at $11 a program. And if you followed any of the numerology of Cryon, you know the name of Cryon and the energy that comes with it is 11. It stands for illumination. I love that. What is so awesome is that if you sign up today, not only will you get the current programs that we roll out every week, but you will have 100 fully indexed past programs. And that's because the members receive every single Healing Wednesday program we've ever done. And the library is building all the time. In addition, as a member, you get so many extra little goodies that include special videos of Lee explaining things and so much more.
And, of course, the YouTube library is also growing and growing right here. And this library here, with its very own playlist, it never expires either. And you can watch these programs as long as you wish. So, YouTube subscribers, please take a look at some of the great programs from the past with some wonderful guests you may not even know about. And, of course, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Click the subscribe button and be a regular part of this profound and free experience.
And what I'd like to do now is have Lee explain some of the quotes from Cryon. Now, Cryon often speaks in metaphors, and I've had Lee explain the quotes. But this one, it's a little different because it would seem that it's self-explanatory. Here's the quote. You never have to fight the darkness. All you have to do is create light. Again, the quote. You never have to fight the darkness. All you have to do is to create the light. So seemingly that's self-explanatory, and yet I want to share with you a question that we've had submitted that shows why it's important that Lee really explains that statement from Cryon. Here's the question. A lot of people are in pain. Can Cryon please just give us a light at the end of the tunnel? How can we prepare? How bad is it going to get? And will we be okay? Please be more specific. It is so hard to think spiritually when our lives are in fear and angst.
So these are questions that we're being asked. How do we fight the darkness? What's going to happen? And how do we cope? And how bad's it going to get? Well, I'll do my best. Over many years, Cryon has given the answers and the specifics, but they often are not really understood. This is because we humans are all so linear that what many want is an ammunition to fight the dark. How can I do it? So in my culture, many even want I'll call it a spiritual pill. That is often what we receive from current spiritual leaders and systems. It says, go here and do this for so many times, then turn around and pray this way and this. I think you know what I mean. What Cryon gives is a difficult, hard concept to understand. Because it's a new paradigm. It's a new paradigm for a seeming battle And it's the way coming for a new earth. When the enemy of the darkness is at your gate of your life, you're taught to fight. We all were. But this new paradigm that's coming up right now, oh, it's very different. So from crying, again, this very first instruction is this. You do not have to fight the dark. Right away, this removes most of the emphasis from the other question, which is, how do we fight it? You don't fight it. You reframe it, convert it, smother it, and then it leaves by itself. Honest, it does. Stop where you are and think about the situations that are the center of your concern and your worry. Then create light around those issues by seeing them resolved in a way that is not known to you. Did you get that? See them resolved in a way that is not known to you. You can see resolution without knowing how it happened. Visualize it resolved. Don't figure it out. Send light to everyone, including yourself, so that peace will be the first thing you feel around it since it's being resolved. Second, don't send out, don't visualize what you think will be a solution. Instead, just send light for a perfect solution, an unknown one that is going to develop, mainly because it's being bathed in this light you're sending. Third, know this. Worry, fear, and angst are no match for your light. Worry, fear, and angst will go away with positive action, laughter, and light logic. Now, light logic is the knowledge that your light has the power to completely cancel your fear and your worry. When you enter a dark room and you're afraid, and you turn on the light, does the dark stay there to fight you? Of course not. Darkness is the absence of light, and turning on the light eliminated it. If you don't believe this could happen, or that this is all silly, then you'll continue to worry and fear. For this to really operate, as Kryon has said, there must be good spiritual intent involved. In other words, you have to believe it. Lastly, stop watching the news. Have you ever heard this from me before? Any media that has you watching a program is invested in frightening and scaring you. For money, of course. Videos and agendas on these medias are carefully worded with the worst things first and even scored with music, again, to frighten you so you'll keep watching. Instead, find a news outlet source you trust and instead read what you feel you need to know about the world. You're far more apt to receive real, fair presented journalism, real journalism, in an article you read rather than a broadcast. So in summary, send light, which can void the darkness and all the fear around you, and stop feeding yourself with doom and gloom from the media. Some will say, nonsense, this won't change anything, Lee. Others will report that this has already changed many things in this world, greatly. This has always been the answer from Kryon.
Lovely answer, Lee. I hope that reframes things. You don't have to fight the darkness, just create light. So I'd like to share another quote from Kryon, and it's this. When the time is right, synchronicity will yell at you, go. So, Lee, what does Kryon mean by this?
Well, here's another example of changing paradigm, just like the last one. When you're expecting answers and you don't get any, what do you do? Well, speaking for myself, I start to ask, hey, where are my answers? Or worse yet, ready, what did I do wrong since I didn't get any answers? Isn't it interesting that we often go to that guilt area when things don't go well? So what Kryon tells us over and over is that often synchronicity will bring the answers to us on almost every issue. But synchronicity isn't what we expect. We want answers, not synchronicity. So how do you deal with that? Well, let me give you an example. We're waiting for answers and we're expecting this and that, and suddenly we meet somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody else who has an answer. But not just the answer, but an entirely different scenario that might even void the original issue entirely. For instance, dear spirit, where am I to get the money for my increased rent? Then nothing happens, and then you get worried. And finally, along comes a person who has a better place for you to rent at a lower price. Does this yell at you yet? The time is right. Do it. Go. It's the answer. This is just one simple example of so many things that people have reported to us and that Monica and I have actually personally experienced. Of course, every issue is different and many have nothing to do with money, but the principles are the same. The bottom line, be patient, waiting for answers, and when they arrive, they may blow you away. And then there'll be no question to go.
Synchronicity is beautiful, and I have a feeling many of you watching this have got your own examples. I think the take-home message for me from Lee's answer was to have patience, release expectations as to how it's going to arrive. Trust that you are so loved that it's going to be delivered without question. Okay, it's time for one short question that I would like to have Lee answer. And here it is. It's from Jennifer, and Jennifer's in Massachusetts in the US. When Kryon says we, who is he referring to?
Hi, Jennifer. Yes, he says we a lot, and that's an easy one. And it's a good one for all those who really don't know yet, perhaps, about Kryon. To me, Kryon is a part of a large angelic group from a very loving and compassionate family. Kryon has never been human and is here as a loving advisor to help us get through this shift that they're currently in right now on the planet. The family he belongs to is the family of the creative source. Now forget everything you've ever been told about God for a moment, please. A God who represents all creation, the stars, the universe, and us, is a grand loving source who knows your name. Think of that. God who made the universe knows your name. It's a family of love who knows you, knows who you are, and asks you to remember this as well. You are a member of the family of God, and your soul is sacred. It's known by the universe. So the we in the statements of Kryon are this family, actually your spiritual family. Kryon will say, we see you. We love you. We honor your path. This is the family from the creative source, God, who is trying to let you know that you are never alone and that there is so much more to this family than anyone has ever told you yet on this planet. The we of Kryon is your family who loves you beyond measure.
And Lee, I want to just clarify for others that, you know, we talk about Kryon a lot, and even I've been guilty of saying he, like referring to Kryon as he. And I just want to remind everyone, or if you're hearing this for the first time, let you know that Kryon is not a gender either.
It isn't. And it's so interesting that everything is gender specific, usually in our languages, you know, all angels are women. Well, there's one exception. But in general, we genderize absolutely everything. So there's no real word that matches an it.
Yes. And the reason I refer to Kryon, I think, and why many, as a he, because it's delivered through your masculine voice.
Correct.
It just makes it easier to say, he said this, Kryon said this.
But you're right, Monica. There is no gender on the other side of the veil, and Kryon is not a he.
Kryon is a we.
Yeah. Very loving
we. So, very loving we. Yeah. So, I think it's about time that we do a meditation before we hear from Kryon, don't you think?
Yep,
yeah,
ready.
Beautiful. So I love the statement that we're never alone and that inside of us is the Creator. And it's a good reminder. So when I was in a situation where I was isolated by myself, we can get to that point where we have a bit of a pity party, where we feel alone and we feel isolated. And I discovered that if I said these statements over and over, it would help me come out of that and remind me of the magnificence that Kryon tells us we are. And so I'm going to just do the basics here. We're doing a meditation. It's about the breath becoming slower. So let's do the very, very basics. I invite you to close your eyes and allow your breathing to be a slow, rhythmic pace where your ingoing breath is deep and slow and your outgoing breath is equal or longer than the inhale. And as you breathe in and breathe out in this slow, rhythmic pace, it transmits a signal to every cell in your body to relax, surrender, trust that all is well, and you are indeed in a safe place. And when we are in this relaxed, deep, safe place, let us remind ourselves that inside of us is a piece of the Creator, and that this Creator is biased in love, and that this bias of love of the Creator is hooked to a field of potentials where all our needs are known, and that the perfect synchronicity to all of our needs are being made manifest even as we sit here with these slow, deep breaths, and that being in the energy of the Creator, which is biased in love, it means that we are continually walking in a bubble of benevolence. And as we walk in a bubble of benevolence, all good things can come to us and move through us to give out to others. And so in this place, in the bubble of benevolence, let us now invite the loving, benevolent messages of Kryon to come forth.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. A reminder, all of these messages that I give you on this program, these channels, will be available to everyone. They're available on my partner's website. Everything that is said in these channels will always be available for free. This month, we wish to start another series. And the series may sound a bit like one that we did in 2021. Back then, we gave you some explanations of the four faces of fear. And this month, we're going to do four fears as well. But these fears, I will say, are exceptionally practical. They're what those are experiencing right now. They're not as esoteric or generic as the ones we gave you before. They're closer to home. And the one that I give first of these four is controversial. You may hear me and say, well, what's controversial about that? And others will say, I don't even believe you. How could you say these things? Because your consciousness and what you expect and what you think and what you've been taught will posture how you receive this particular fear, this particular message, or these instructions. There is great sorrow, you might say, in some areas about how this planet has taught and perceived that which is the creative source. Who is God to you? What have you been told God is? Is that even the correct word? Is that which is the creator of everything that exists? Is it to be feared? Well, that's what you're taught. So the first fear that I want to tell you that people have that gets in the way of love and compassion and healing and life is the fear of God. What have you been told? First, I'm going to give you the scenario that I have given so many times before, but perhaps it's the first time you ever heard this. God does not have a human's consciousness. How do you define that which is the pure love that surrounds everything that is unconditional, that has so much love for you, that this God knows your name, that you are part of that creative source because your soul was made by God and your soul is eternal, loved you so much that you are part of all of this, and then you come down to earth and in a lower energy for eons of time, human beings have decided that God is a human of some kind. And you would say, well, that's crazy. No humans ever said God was a human. Oh, yes, you did, humans. Every time you made a doctrine that made God angry and vindictive and had rules of punishment, that's a father, dear ones. That's a human father. That's not the creator of the universe. I think you got that wrong. And yet in the energy of creation, it starts with that which is kindergarten growing up into the first and second, third grades. And it's the same way with energy. So you might expect that kind of thing on the planet, but it never got better. And even right today, you'll go into places where they'll say, God is love. And God will punish you if you don't behave, if you don't do this and that. And by the way, you did something that you don't even know about thousands of years ago that you're being punished for. And it goes on and it goes on and goes on. Do you really think the creator of this universe, the definition of love and compassion, can punish you? How convenient that those who will say you only have one life and you're living it, and it better be a good one, because at the end of that life, your soul will be tormented, they'll say. And there's plenty of pictures of that tormenting in the churches, so all the children can take a look at it. You know I'm right. I didn't make that up. Fear of God. You're programmed to fear God. That's a big one. What do you do about that? My partner had the same thing. So he started asking the questions that got answered immediately. But you have to be able to ask them. Dear God, dear Spirit, I believe in you. I was always told you were real. I love you. Is it possible that I was not told correctly? Is it possible there is a bigger story that humanity has just started to learn? Is it possible that you are so beautiful and so wondrous and so glorious? I don't need to worship this that is you, because it is part of my soul, that you are so beautiful and wondrous and good. You could never, ever punish or anger or any of the things that are human nature that are assigned to the creative source. Is it possible? And almost immediately, my partner received the love wash that I gave him, indicating there is something here. What if, dear ones, you were never, ever truly given the truth? And it's not a conspiracy. It's because that truth is now simply starting to come out in a much, much better light. That in an older energy, that's the best they had. The doctrines that you have perhaps learned and been programmed in, it's the best they had. You take a look at the ancients, even the Greeks, I've said this before, they made their gods dysfunctional so they'd be just like you. This has precedent, if you've noticed it. Study it a bit. And you'll start to realize that the whole hierarchy of the idea of God doing this and that and requiring this and that and worshiping and then punishing and having your soul go to a horrible place with a fallen angel, that it's all allegory, it's story, and it's human story. It's not divine. It's not real. And all your life, that's what you've been told. So of course you would fear God. The creator of this universe who loves you dearly is not to be feared. The creator of this universe who loves you beyond measure is part of your soul. All of your energy is allied with you and is waiting to give you and teach you compassion, kindness, beauty. Let's do an exercise together. If you want to feel this, I invite you to put your hand on your heart. If you want to understand more, I will tell you that in this energy, answers come quick. Especially the questions about your own perception of your own divinity. Dear Spirit, dear God, I want to forget everything I've been told about you right now and wipe the slate clean and let you tell me who you are. Dear Spirit, show me the benevolence and the love that's there. Let it fill my heart with peace and understanding so that I'll understand totally that perhaps you're different. Perhaps you're not a father at all, like a human is. Perhaps you are far beyond any consciousness that I can conceive. Perhaps you love me so much that I'll never be alone, that you'll always be with me, that there'll be guides and angels helping me through this life. Perhaps I'm here to learn that love, not to fear you. Show it to me. Show it to me. Dear Spirit, dear creative source, show me a bigger picture, one that nobody ever showed me. And do it in a way, not with pictures on the wall or in books, but in a way I can't miss it. Give me the synchronicity, perhaps, of others who will give me this same message in another way, or perhaps in my dreams, or perhaps right now. Fill me with such love that I will never fear that which is God again, ever. I'll know you so well and love you so much and feel your compassion and kindness like I never have before that I can just sit back and laugh at the allegory that I was told, like a child being told about a fairy tale that never exists, and when they grew up, it got corrected. It's time for the correction. There is no reason for any human ever to fear that which is the creative source, who would never punish you, who will never ever treat you any different than you would treat your children, dear ones, that you love so much. Be aware that this creative source that is responsible for everything you see as you look up in the sky day and night knows your name and wants to fill you completely with love. You are not a small dot on a moving planet. You are an eternal soul, and there are purposes and reasons for you and your consciousness and your life, and they align totally with God's plan of love, compassion, and change on this earth. If you do this, you can start beaming with the light that is yours. And you'll never fear God again. Ever. I'm crying in love with this family, giving you truth today. Truth. I want you to feel the reality of it. And so it is.
And as that beautiful, beautiful love wash from Kryon continues, I ask you to gently place your hands in your lap if you haven't already, and open up those eyes. And as you open your eyes with your hands on your lap and the love wash continuing, bring your awareness to be more fully present in your body as we move to the next part of the program. And I'm really excited every time I get these young, amazing show weighers of the planet coming to us. I get so excited. That's why I can't even find my words right now. We have Elizabeth April joining us, and I just want to make sure she's there on the Zoom feed with us. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us. You are part of the wave of the future. Love that we've got such young, vibrant energy doing amazing work on the planet.
I talk about this all the time. Yeah. I say, folks, wait till you meet the new generation, mm-hmm. the ones that are here to that we've expected all along. Well, here's a very short introduction to this very special person. Elizabeth April, 30-year-old, who was born with extrasensory abilities.
Now, at a young age, Elizabeth was able to see ghosts and spirits and read energies from other people. So since childhood, she's developed these abilities into a wide array of skills, from clairvoyance, remote viewing, past life regression to precognition.
And based on a wide variety of experiences, Elizabeth is most excited about exploring the topics of a spiritual awakening, cosmic disclosure, one of my favorites, and quantum physics. Welcome to the program, dear. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So how did all of your skills and gifts from childhood develop into what you're doing now full time?
Yeah, I think it was really a process to get to where I am today. And really, I think the biggest thing about anyone's spiritual awakening and, you know, navigating this space is discernment. So a lot of things had to happen in order for me to build, yes, the knowledge and experience that I have, but really the discernment to tell the difference between different vibrations and what's definitely happening on the planet right now. And I think discernment is the number one thing that I like to share and give to other people and help them experience as well.
You are preaching to the choir, because we often get people asking us to, because others have said they channel Kryon, which is the real one. And so discernment is always the answer. So how would you tell others to discern truth for themselves?
Yeah,
and this is where it's tough, right? It's almost impossible to teach discernment. The best thing that we can do as wayshowers and teachers and leaders is to remind everyone that their own greatest navigator is within them. So the best thing that I like to say is, after listening to a teaching or going through a meditation or watching a video or reading an article, how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel fearful or anxious or exhausted? Or do you feel uplifted and excited and motivated? And based on where you're at in your own emotional state is a pretty good indication if that piece of information or that teacher is bringing you closer to pure source energy, or it's bringing you farther away from it. And of course, at this time, we need to know both sides in order to make a choice. So the choice mostly should be really connecting to yourself through that source energy and feeling motivated and enlightened after interacting with other energies.
I'm curious about your childhood.
That's what I'm curious about.
And your parents, yeah. Because mm-hmm. so many have these gifts, but it gets squashed or shut down due to either parents or the environment. So I'm just curious, how was it for you?
How did that play out when you had these abilities with your parents?
Yeah, so I think my mom was always really freaked out by what I could do, especially with the ghosts and the spirits. She's like, oh, you're watching too many scary movies, and, you know, maybe we cut cut back on the media time. Whereas my dad, who was actually the more Catholic one, and we were raised Catholic, was very open-minded. So what's great about what he did, and what I really encourage parents to do now, is to allow your children to explain what they're experiencing and ask as many questions as possible. So for me as a kid, I was saying that I was talking to God all the time. And so my dad would say, well, what is God telling you? And those kind of things. And those questions would really prompt an open discussion and would make me feel that it's more normal to have those experiences and to see those spirits and ghosts and ET beings than not. And that really allowed me to flourish in that state.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you to your father.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad. And I'm sure eventually Mum came on board too.
Oh, yeah. My mom is by far my biggest fan and supporter. And, you know, she's front row at all my conferences, listens to all of my podcasts. She doesn't understand everything, but I just love the unconditional love and support she has.
Oh, so beautiful. So I would...
I want to know about your work. I want to know about the Galactic Federation and anything that you want to describe to this point in time. How did this all evolve and what's it all mean?
Oh, okay. Talk about loaded question. So I really had kind of my reawakening at 16 because I really shut down a lot of this stuff when I had my first past life regression. That allowed me to understand reincarnation is real, time is an illusion, and we all have the ability to explore past, future lifetimes and to actually override time and space as we know it. So that opened me up at 16. And then at 18, I was very consciously abducted by extraterrestrial beings, which opened me up to the world of ETs and, you know, the good and the bad, not just the good. And shortly after my abduction experience, of course, I was really curious, tying now the past life aspect to the ET aspect. I mean, if we've been other things in other lifetimes on this planet, I wonder if we've been other things in other lifetimes off this planet. And what could we be off this planet? And what does that look like? And what is the whole system and the structure off of this planet? And I think a lot of that curiosity and questioning led me to connecting with the Galactic Federation. And I think it was also in my contracts to connect with them in this lifetime. So shortly after my abduction at 18, they contacted me and they invited me to a meeting that they were having. And this was back in 2010. And in this meeting, they talked about this giant vibrational shift that was taking place and what was going to happen that was a part of this vibrational shift and the different species and beings that were on this planet interacting with human beings and the whole purpose of human beings. And it took me a while to really unpack that and integrate that into my own understanding of this life. And unfortunately, I didn't really have any teachers or mentors or a community at that time to go to ask, is this real? Is this legitimate? So I really had to do a lot of navigating on my own. And of course, a lot of what they talked about in that first Galactic Federation meeting is now coming into fruition. And since then, I've had meetings with them every single month for the past, 12 years, something like that. So it's really about connecting with them, keeping up to date on, you know, what's happening at a greater galactic level and what does planet Earth and humanity have to do with all of that? What is our role in all of this? And what do we need to know at this time to best navigate the collapse of the old energy and stepping into the new vibration?
And so that was going to be my question. Your dialogues and communications with the extraterrestrials, that's the subject what I was wanting to ask you. So you already unloaded that. And what would be the message for what our beautiful planet Earth, which I just absolutely love.
This would be the first message that you got in that first meeting, I think.
Yeah, so this, I just absolutely love this beautiful planet that we are so privileged to be on. What is the message for us going from the old to the new?
There's a lot. So I would say there's two big things that I would want to relay in this moment. One would be that human beings are really, really special. And I think that a lot of channelers have relayed that message that we're special, but why are we so special? And to sum it up really quickly, throughout our evolution in human history, there have been many species that have come to the planet, mixed their DNA with our DNA to help evolve us. And sometimes that's for their own greedy needs. And they don't understand the bigger picture. But the bigger picture is there has always been a Galactic Federation prophecy that has said there is going to be a species that is going to be the children of the highest vibrational beings and the lowest vibrational beings in the universe. And if that species was able to experience both of these vibrations simultaneously and through their free will make a choice, whether they choose love or fear, they choose to express the DNA of the highest vibration or the lowest vibration, it's going to not only change the trajectory of this planet, but it's actually going to have an impact on the entire universe. Technically, within this prophecy, we are that species, and we are the prophecy that is really meant to end the war of all wars out there in the universe. So that's a lot, right? It's like I always see us as like this superhero that doesn't even know we have superpowers quite yet. So understanding that we are a part of this huge prophecy, the question is, well, now what? Because we take a look at the planet and we feel hopeless in so many ways. We feel like we're up against a force that we don't have any power within, but we have all of the power. We've just been led to believe we don't have that power. So in understanding that we are the prophecy, the next biggest piece of information that the Galactic Federation continues to relay is that we at an individual level are in full control of creating our own flourishing individual reality, and we are completely responsible for creating a flourishing, unifying, equality-driven collective reality. It is not up to the governments. It's not up to the Galactic Federation. It's not up to our spirit guides. It's up to us. So how do we do that? How do we create a new unifying reality without any sort of external help? And it comes down to our focus. Are you focused on the agendas? Are you focused on the matrix? Are you focused on the conspiracies? Or are you focused on unity and equality and unconditional love for everyone on the planet? And so it is through our focus where we actually end up creating the collective reality for everyone to flourish within. So we have to understand that we're the only ones who have the power to change the future on planet Earth. And we have the responsibility to start to understand where our thoughts are going. And through that focus and through that belief, we're creating that collective outcome.
So I would like to ask a question, because there are probably many listening who would dearly love for our beautiful, I call them spiritual parents and grandparents out in the galaxy. And there's many that would love to have them come and communicate with them. And so how would you help guide someone? I mean, obviously intent begins the doorway to open, but how do you really get that dialogue? Oh, I want to connect with my beautiful spiritual parents and grandparents. What advice do you give?
Yeah, so I think what a lot of starseeds get caught up in is wanting that connection so badly, but really believing that they're blocked or there's some sort of disconnect happening. Once again, whatever you believe in is what you're creating. So if you believe that you're blocked in connecting, then you're creating a block in connecting. What I really love to say when connecting to your galactic family or your cosmic spirit guides or whoever is believe that it's already happening, because it is. A lot of us assume that they're going to pop right into our mind and start an open dialogue with us like we're talking right now. But that's not actually how most contact happens. It happens within our physical reality. It happens through some coincidental conversation you have with a stranger or some article that pops up out of nowhere on your computer. We need to realize that contact is already happening at an individual level, just like contact is already happening at a global level. Almost every single day, there is a new UFO sighting or someone has a dream of an ET visiting them. And these are all different ways and versions of contact. So I guess the number one thing is believe that it's already happening and it's going to even excel. It's going to amplify from there. And then the second is make a very clear and concise statement that you're ready for deeper contact and deeper connection with your galactic family and your spirit guides. And it just goes something like this. All right, universe, all right, higher self, I am ready to fully connect with my galactic self, and I am open to how that happens. When we take away expectation, when we take away attachment into how we perceive it's going to happen, then we're really open to all of the ways that contact is already happening.
I love that you said release the expectations, because I think that does often block us. I'm so grateful that you said it's not going to happen like a dialogue and conversation like we're doing now, back and forth. What are the kind of senses where you perceive your information? Audio, visual, you know, what is it for you?
Yeah, for me, I'm very, very clairvoyant. So everything comes through as a visual, even full-on downloads or a straight conversation with an ET. It all comes through as, you know, pictures in my mind. And that's how I see and perceive past lifetimes, which can be kind of difficult for me to teach different psychic abilities and connections, because my way of connecting is so visual and a lot of people connect clairaudiently, which I just simply don't have. And so for me, it's how do I teach someone to tap into all of their extra senses and to really pay attention to all of the things in order to understand what their main modality might be, even though a lot of us have many of them. We need to realize that it doesn't come as clearly as, you know, say something that I do or something that you do. It does come in other forms. And that's where we have to really pay attention to our physical reality and the signs and the synchronicities that come through in our day-to-day lives.
Hey, Elizabeth, this may be too personal, but I'm just backing up to what you said. And I'm a little clairaudient. And I remember a lot of things and hear into things. Your immediate past life or the one before that set you up for this one. And you want to tell us about that? What you learned about yourself?
So there was a very significant past life that I relived when I was 16. And I was a shaman in South America. And basically what I did, I never took on any students. I was very solo in my own kind of exploration. And I just remember I would sit at the top of this flat roofed pyramid, and there was this huge rectangle cut out of the roof. And especially at night, I would sit under there and I would stargaze, and I would leave my body and I would go into the universe, and I would gather as much information as possible and bring that information back into my body and relay it to my community, and really letting them know that, you know, there is so much more out there in this world, but there's also so much more out there in the universe. And it was that lifetime when I relived that at 16, where I knew once again, that was my purpose. That was my mission. That was what I was supposed to do. And even when I was really young, at like 6 years old, I would pace my backyard with a notepad and a pen and say, I have to write. I have to write. They need to know. I don't know what I have to write though, you know? And so I was really frustrated at knowing that I had to give information, but at 6 years old, at even 18 years old, what information do I have as a human to give? And then understanding that the information is not mine. It is not based on my physical experience here. It's universal truth that is just meant to come through me as a conduit. So I believe that that's the lifetime that you're probably picking up on.
Yeah. Do you feel right now, this is probably just me asking, I don't know how many people would ask this, but do you feel right now you're outgoing or are you a hermit?
Ooh, Ooh, I call myself an extroverted introvert. really. I love interacting with people. Uh-huh. I love speaking on stage at conferences. Uh-huh. I really miss the one-on-one in person. But I also really enjoy and definitely need my alone time. So I would say at this point, I'm probably 90% introvert, 10% extrovert. But when I get back into the online or the physical space, yeah. I definitely love the 50-50.
I think that so many of us who do this kind of thing are, I'm a hermit and I'm forced out there. But I love to come home and just shut all the doors. And because that's where all the information comes in. And
that's the recharge for you.
What is the current dynamics right now on the planet? A lot of people are wondering, what's going on?
Oof, a lot. Yeah, so the original timeline that the Galactic Federation gave me back in 2017 was that between 2020 and 2024 was going to be the absolute collapse of the third dimension frequency of the old world, old Earth. And I told people for many years, you know, this is going to happen. 2020 is going to change the world forever. And I got laughed at quite a few times. And then 2020 happened. And so we're 2022. We're just finishing off this year. It's so evident that the collapse is all around us, but it's nothing to be fearful of. I think that there is this innate fear, not only just within the population, because we're really being manipulated to be fearful, but what surprised me was the fear that I was really seeing within the star seeds and the galactic volunteers. And I believe that that fear comes from them through past life experience of the pole shifts or giant cataclysms, as well as the fall of ancient Atlantis. And so we have this innate fear of it's happening again. You know, we didn't do things the right way and we're getting wiped clean. And that's just not the case this time. This is a very revolutionary, very new time for us, even though it really reminds us of the times before. And then the other timeline is between 2024 and 2028 is going to be the rebuilding of the new Earth frequency. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're fully stepped into the new Earth. And I really picture the new Earth frequency as a lot of solutions, environmental solutions, economic solutions, solutions for food and water and shelter access to everyone in the planet, not just the Western world. So I really see this equality and unity in the new Earth frequency. And then, of course, the vibration within us individually is already rising. So I always like to mention, especially for people in this community, don't wait for the world to shift your own life, because, you know, it's kind of don't hold your breath forever, right? It's okay to shift before everyone else. As a matter of fact, we need you to shift before everyone else so that you can be the leader and the way shower and the teacher for when 8 billion other people decide to shift and awaken and need as many coaches and channelers and healers as possible to bring them into gracefully that new Earth vibration.
You spoke of fear, and that's one of the subjects of this month that we've been talking about and channeling about yet again, because it just seems as the light, more light shows up, the fear gets grander as well.
Yeah, it's almost like the pendulum swings to real opposites. Like the fear is deeper fear, and the light is a brighter light. So how do we navigate the two?
Yeah, I love that. So for a very long time, I was asking the Galactic Federation a question. And only recently did they actually answer me. I think this was maybe last year. And so my question was, all right, Galactic Federation, you know, we're here, we live in a binary universe, which basically means that there's going to be light and dark everywhere in the universe, not just contained here on the planet. So my question to them is, as we raise our vibration and we go into this new Earth frequency, this fifth dimension, what happens to the darkness? Because we can't just have all light. And so finally, they responded to this question, and it really resonated with me. And they said that instead of individuals on the planet being dark, and we're talking like really, really, really low vibration, and just a couple individuals really, really high vibration, and then the rest just a bunch of chaos, they said that we're all going to be shifting into a place where we understand and we hold space for both the light and the dark, the fear and the love within ourselves in a balanced way so that there's no division, right? And I really feel like the fifth dimension frequency is not all light and love and butterflies. It's just unity. It's everything simultaneously. It's the ability to observe love and fear objectively without necessarily needing to choose a side. It's holding the space for both. So I really feel like it's kind of like an elastic band, right? We're going to really stretch out the extremes of the light and the dark, the fear and the love. And it's all going to snap back into unity. And that's not just at an individual level, but a collective level. And as we all know, things have to happen at an individual level before we can shift the collective into that place of unity as well.
Absolutely. I think fear definitely has a role. It sometimes fear is for survival. Don't step off the cliff to your doom. Like that is one mechanism where fear is working in our favor. So I really appreciate your description of how both are needed, and it's the unity of that happening.
Are you able to disclose in the Galactic Federation who you might be talking to?
Yeah, so I talk to a variety of different councils. There's so many different councils a part of the Galactic Federation. So I would say that the main, I guess, three beings that I communicate with, there's one named Kinetic, and he is a part of the Pleiadian Security Council, is what they call it. And it's about 8 Pleiadian beings, and they kind of oversee security issues or measures for planet Earth. Sometimes it's environmental, sometimes it's war, military base, sometimes it's economic. So they kind of relay that information to me. And then I have another council that I go to quite frequently, and it's the Arcturian Timeline Council, and there's only 4 of them. And one of the main Arcturians that I speak to, his name is G, just like the letter. And essentially, they are able to observe all of the different timelines and I guess like precognition, like future stuff. It's just tough because with the battle between the shadow governments or the darkness and the light on planet Earth, there's an infinite number of timelines that are playing out. 20 years ago, 50 years ago, there was really one main timeline for planet Earth. These days, the timelines switch almost every day, but it does give us a good insight into what may be next for humanity and how we can best navigate it. And then the third council, which I guess isn't really a council, it's just a being. She's a female. She's from the Suri being or Suri species, which is a very rare species. And she's very aquatic. Her name is Bukta. And she is a hybrid biologist. She's really awesome. She works in a laboratory on the Galactic Federation ship. And she specifically knows all about human beings as hybrids and how different vibrational frequencies are activating our DNA. So we talk a lot about the ascension symptoms and how to best live our lives, whether it be maybe a diet or a mindset or what's going on right now as far as us being affected and activated. And so she's really helpful when it comes down to that. So those are kind of my three main beings that I talk to most often that cover a lot of my own curiosities about the planet.
As strange as that may seem, I am so on board with all of that. I know we're running out of time, Monica.
Absolutely. I want to let people know that if you want to connect more with Elizabeth, her website is elizabethapril.com. Couldn't be simpler. And any final messages? I kind of feel that there's a beautiful message coming through from the Galactic Council. If you'd like to share that with us as we draw to a close this beautiful conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there is a main message that they always leave us off with. And it really does come down to how powerful we are and how much ability we have in creating and co-creating the reality around us. So it's really important to let go of all of the noise, all of the chaos, all of the projections, all of the pressures around you in your life, and to really come back to the truth. And the only truth is that you're a spiritual being, you're existing in a physical body just temporarily, but you're here for a reason. You're on this planet because we need you. So try not to get caught up in judgment, illusion, fear, attachment. You're exactly where you need to be. And the more that you can be consciously aware of your own thoughts and your own mindset and your own intentions, the more you're going to really be able to shift your reality into full alignment, and the more you're going to be able to shift the reality around us collectively into full alignment for everyone. So never undermine your power. Always understand that you are the creator of your own reality, and never undermine the position that you have on planet Earth, because you are so special. You are a teacher in your own right, and you are very much so needed at this time.
April, you've carried the shamanship of the past into your future, into today. And I hope people are really listening. Thank you so much for all that you brought to us.
Absolutely. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Well, just a reminder, you are special. You are here on purpose. And we are now going to take a 10-minute break. And then we'll see you back here for the Circle of 12. Well, welcome back from the break, everyone. Wasn't Elizabeth delightful,
amazing,
sharing such a beautiful message with all of us?
I love these young people who are so awake, I tell you.
Absolutely.
And I've been waiting a long time for this, and to see it here epitomized on my show and your show.
It's fantastic.
It is wonderful.
Yeah. And I want to tell anyone who wants to get too much into the minutiae, don't get into the minutiae and the details. Feel into the purity of the message that was given and delivered.
It's the right message, too.
Absolutely, because we're here in the most extraordinary times the planet has ever seen.
Don't you find it interesting that she echoed what the Indigenous have been saying all along with the messages she was getting from the Galactic Federation?
Yes.
It's all starting to shake hands and connect the dots, as far
Absolutely.
As I'm concerned.
And it's all about self-empowerment and self-healing.
Well, it's time again to do what we are calling Miracle Moments. This program you're watching is, of course, all about healing. It's about sending and receiving energy, something that old souls do really well. I'd like to ask Monica to share one of those miracles that a precious old soul has received.
So this miracle moment was shared in the membership portal, and I'm going to give you the abridged version of it, but it's so beautiful what was shared. And it comes from Tony. And Tony says, "My miracle is regarding my brother William, who I put on the healing list when it first started. William had been in the hospital and rehab for the better part of last year and 2022. He has severe lymphedema in his legs and heart issues. He was released from rehab in May 2022 and was enjoying being home. My brother loves to cook, so even though he was recovering, he wanted to cook an evening meal before his wife returned from work. What a sweetheart. I love him already. And he turned on the gas to cook and realized it hadn't lit. When he noticed it was not lit, he struck a match, and that caused a massive explosion and it threw him across the room. He hit his head and passed out. Eventually, he awakened, had enough presence of mind to turn off the gas. He then scooted into the next room to get his phone, but just as he reached the phone was already ringing. So he answered, and all he could say was, 'I'm sorry, I am going.' He thought he was dying, and he actually passed out. Now, the person on the other end of the phone realized he needed help, immediately called 911, and when the medics arrived, he was still on the floor, barely conscious when they took him to hospital. He was later told it was a miracle that he lived. So I'm deeply grateful for all the prayers and visualizations. Healing Moments works. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for sharing that heartwarming, beautiful story, because we know prayer works. We can't override a soul plan, but we can send energy to those who need it. And there are those who, like her brother, will have a miracle happen. So I'd like to invite you to join me in this moment now, where we can consciously connect with each other and send out a wave of benevolence to everyone who requires it. There are so many right now on our planet that need help. They're in trouble. And so we want to send them a bubble of peace so that they may relax into their situation, knowing that they are not alone, knowing that there is help coming, knowing that right now there is a collective group of family gathering on this planet where they are included in prayers of benevolence, compassionate action, love, support. Anyone who has put their name on a prayer list of any kind in the past, present, and future, you are included in this group activity right now in this moment. We are enveloping you in an energetic hug so that you are surrounded by love and family. And let that penetrate into every cell of your body, how deeply loved you are. May you feel the peace, the eternal peace of the Creator that is with you right now. And in this tranquil, peaceful place, let us connect further with our soul and with Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon. Come a little closer. And the subject is deep peace. Perhaps even more than that. I gave you the information that this month we'd be talking about fear. But it would be more practical fears. And the first one I gave you just a few moments ago was how many are afraid of God. Afraid not because of something that's happened, but because of the programming, perhaps, if you want to call it that, the information of the ages that created a God that was not just the creator and the one that was love, but the one that was also the judgmental one, and the one that would take you and throw your soul for eternity into a horrible place of torture. And that's not the God that is represented at all in this galaxy, in this universe, in the universes and the multiverses. I told you earlier that this, if you want to even call it a God, this creative source was an energy of pure love. And that's the way it started. For those of you who love to analyze the quantumness of all things, and say, in the beginning there was, and I will tell you, love. The most precious thing in the universe. And not just the love that you as a human being think of when you think of wonderful love. It was the love of all things. The love of every molecule that was about ready to be created. And the life that would spring from that. And here you are with me telling you that perhaps, just perhaps, you got the wrong story. The circle of 12 is a place where you come for visualizations, perhaps these things turning into a reality you didn't expect, perhaps. But they all are exercises. And even in the beginning, we said to you, is it real? Is it not real? Indicating to you that there is reality beyond that which you think is real. And now those who are invested in multidimensional energies and the quantumness of everything are beginning to express the same thing. Is it possible that there are realities within realities? And you say, well, you're getting just a little too esoteric, Kryon. Perhaps. But when you are in fear, dear ones, of any kind, that is so three-dimensional. That is so anchored into that which is the old energy, that perhaps you need to expand that reality that you have into a situation where you might even cross the bridge with me into another reality which is actually bigger than the one you're experiencing, but you've never been told that. What if when you cross the bridge with me this evening and go to what we have called the bigger you, you actually go to a reality that is far older, more substantial, and real than this temporary one that you have on earth. And that is the way of it. Your soul is forever and has always been. It is part of the creative source. And that is the difficult thing for people to realize. What if you were part of the creative source in some way? That collectively, all together, all life was part of this creative source whose essence was love. We've asked you to peel the onion of your reality. And as you peel away the fears and the old things and the things that don't make sense that you were told about, that you would come across something which is a jewel of great price, and that is your soul, the love, the beauty that is you, the real you, the one that was created to change this planet at this time. What if there were a bigger plan? And that bigger plan for you has you here now, hearing this, perhaps for the first time. Does it really make sense that the God of all things is a judgmental God that sounds a whole lot like a father, a dysfunctional bad father? It should make you wonder, what's the real truth? I want you to come across this bridge with me tonight, as we've done so many times, and do something outrageous that you didn't expect, that will be hard to describe, but that is possible and doable. Dear ones, there's a bridge stretching in front of you that represents a crossing between the known, that's right now where you sit, and the unknown, and that's the bigger you, the soul you. And in this new energy, you have the tools, the ability, the permission to go across the bridge and meet those on the other side that anchor these things with you, you call your soul. The guides, the angels, the past life recognitions, all of that that we have done, it's all part of you. It's beautiful. So much bigger, perhaps, than you were ever told. But this time, come with me. Let's cross the bridge. Take my hand. All of these times we have walked this little distance, crossing this bridge, and through the fog that obfuscates what might be on the other side, and then when it clears, you step into that which is the beauty, the majesty, the splendor of your soul. Whatever you see in your mind's eye is accurate. Whatever you see there that you have decided that's what it would look like is accurate, because that's your mind's eye. But the truth is you really cannot imagine what it looks like. First of all, you don't see it with eyes. This is a place, if you want to call it that, that you can hear light. This is a beautiful place where there's always some kind of glorious music playing. A song that you would recognize if I played it right now for you. It's the dancing lights made by the stars. It's all of the entities that are out there on all of the other places and galaxies and planets that have to do with you and your soul and who know you. A bigger picture than you ever thought there was is there. We've told you that. And here you are in this soul where everything is accessible. There's a door. Will you go through this door with me? Different than any door you've ever been through. Are you ready for something special? I want you to come through the door with me. I'm right beside you. Come through the door. And as soon as you walk through that door, you're standing very firmly and not afraid in outer space. The most brilliant stars are visible to you. You can breathe easily. There is no fear of anything that would be physical here. You are glancing upon that which is the Creator's work. And you look around, and I will tell you, you recognize some stars, and you know there are some planets there you've been on, because you are a very old soul, and you've been in this particular galaxy a very long time. And you start looking at it, and looking at all of its majesty. And then here comes the question. What does God look like? If you could hear God, what would you hear? If you could meet the Creator, what would it be like? I can't answer any of those, because these are questions beyond that which is answerable. Questions that perhaps shouldn't even be asked because they're so outrageous. But I want to give you a taste of that right now. Imagine you are standing there with your arms outstretched alone, in the middle, perhaps, of outer space, just looking at all the nebulas and the beauty of all of the colors and the stars that are there, just looking at the majesty of the work of the Creator. And you say, God, I want to know you. Speak to me. Now, this is where it gets good. Because if this were a movie, there would be a voice. But it isn't. This is a reality that exists for you. God is real. You're real. Your soul is real. And so instead of a voice now, there is an overwhelming feeling that rings through your cells. And your name is mentioned. I know your name. And you hear that and you realize it. And you recognize there has been an answer already. Already, you just stretched out your arms. And then if you will, if you have the courage to, you would stretch out your arms again and say, Dear Creator who knows my name, tell me what you want me to know. It's a time for you to meet the Creator to whatever degree this beautiful, wonderful energy of love is there for you. And if it could say anything or speak anything, you wouldn't even know what language it would be. A language you wouldn't know. God does not have language. God has love. And so what God would want you to know, dear ones, is just how much you're loved. And as you stand there with your arms out, the most incredible peace and beauty will pour into your body. So your body starts to even warm up with the amount of love that is pouring through you at this moment. That is a meeting with God, the meeting with the Creator. And it's instant. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to have answers because it's right away. Where you exist in your soul is the platform of communication with all that is. And remember, you are a piece and a part of this Creator. I want you to stand there and feel this and know that this God loves you and humanity and this earth and is working for changes that are so grand and so great that you won't even recognize this planet when you come back someday. And you're all part of it. But in order for you to accomplish what you came for, you have to know that there is no judgment. You have to know that there is no God who's looking at you and thinking, well, that's good or that's bad. No, it's only pure love, and it's flowing through you now. I want you to feel it so much that when you return from this circle of 12, you're going to be different. You might even have a full cognition right now. Oh my, oh my, no one ever told me. No one ever told me that I had an alliance like this, and that I never had to fear. I never have to worry. There never has to be angst, not with this. All things are appropriate. That's the truth. That's what I want you to see. That's the healing I want you to have over fear and anything else that gets in the way of beauty and compassion and love. Stay there, just stay there. Just stay there and feel the light that pours into you. You've just met a bigger you. That's the message I wanted to give you tonight. And so it is.